Very strange photographer, may I add?
Please beep that out.
You can't can say, that? Say that. Yeah, they're not going to know who that is.
I just don't. He actually, no, it's right. Keep it in. I'm blocked. Welcome back to another episode of Managed. Today's guest is a little bit different and I'm really excited to have her. She is the managing director of HLD Talent. She is my right-hand man. She is Ella Young.
So, Ella. Hi. Hiya.
So this is your first podcast?
Yeah.
You better start with me.
Very outside my comfort zone here.
I call myself a BTS gal.
No, but you... I am a BTS gal. You like, are... I am behind the scenes.
I'm not as BTS as I once was, but...
No. Like I said, not with that hair.
It's not my fault. This is how I was born. So obviously, was born to not be always BTS.
No.
But, so basically, I wanted to bring you on here because I actually think you're someone people find very interesting. Because anyone who knows me or HLD knows you are the right-hand man to me. You are the woman who keeps me sane.
I'm the angel on your shoulder.
Yes.
Sometimes the devil.
I think it depends, though, because I think we've been
depends
through...
if I've had a drink or not.
We've had quite a big journey together.
Yeah.
So you've been with me now for like over 3 years, is it?
Yeah. Over 3 years, what a long 3 years that's been.
Longer than all your previous relationships, I'm sure.
That was rude.
Sorry, take that back.
But true.
Let's talk about though how you began, because I think your story is really funny. And I do bring it up when I'm drunk, don't
I? It's quite a unique one.
I think how you began with HLD is funny because you started as an intern.
Yeah.
And it was when we were just looking for an intern.
Yeah.
And you're the only person that who had like any sort of... I don't know if the tenacity is the right word, but you messaged me on DM.
I had no shame.
No shame.
I just you still lost have no shame. My job. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think you can have shame. This job. You can't do this job and not have and have any sort of ego. Like
no,
I've always said it. You leave it at the door.
Yeah,
you can
really
pick it
do.
Back up when you go home on the weekend.
Yeah,
because you know you should probably have some sort
That's
of dignity.
That's what you saw in me.
No, like no dignity. Yeah,
no dignity.
No, you do. You do. You're very good at your job, but
thanks.
You're the only person I know who. No, you're the only person who did do that. Since then, people have messaged me. I went.
Well,
and
I think
found,
you were very small time then.
We were tiny. We only had one member of staff. Oh no, maybe two. I think you might be the third. You were the third
I
member
was third,
of staff.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was very, very, very small. And I remember I went to look at your CV and it was pink, and you didn't put your phone number on. And I had to
I can tell
you
why, though. No, I obviously didn't do it on purpose.
Did you purposely? Why did you not put your phone number on it?
Because obviously, before this job, I had worked in like talent management, more for corporate companies. Hannah always takes the piss because I worked for BP, the petrol garage,
but
their head office.
I just wonder how you could call it talent management because I just feel like I've.
So it was, you know, for people that worked on the oil rigs, like engineers.
You
but
manage
it was very.
People.
No, not manage them personally, but more just inputting things online and making sure that they had the right training and things like that. So my CV was very, very corporate. Before that, did kind of same different company, went to uni, very corporate CV, and saw this on Instagram and I was like, right, I just need to stand out. I made it pink. I found the best photo.
No, but the best thing was
me.
You're missing a key part here. You got this from the PLT podcast.
I did.
You did?
I did. Did I you tell
did.
You that?
You did, yeah.
God, my memory's awful, by the way. But,
no, but I remember it because I was like, why is it pink?
I watched, yeah, so the first, one of the first episodes that they did with Nat Leary. And I think they had like the like head
so
of marketing.
Amy Simon. Who's
yeah.
Who's now global
and
head
she
of PR.
Said the way to really stand out and what she looks for is, you know, a really creative CV. And I was looking at mine like, hey, well, this is shit. It's corporate as fuck. Can I swear?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I'll make it pink. I'll make the font like dark pink. I'll put a photo of me on it. And just, yeah, I completely tore it apart and made a new one. And yeah, obviously just left the phone number off it.
interesting for a previous corporate CEO. You're going to gather your phone number. Would have been.
Well, it's very quick. I saw the, because you put it on Instagram. What? Do you remember the ad for the?
No, I did. Yeah, I think about your CV. I wouldn't do that.
I'm pretty sure you put it on your personal Instagram as a grid post.
I think I would have done it as both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we were small time.
But my friend, it was my friend that saw it. And said, you should apply for this. You'd be really good at it. And at the time, I was Googling talent management, like influence industry, all of that. I had never really heard of it, to be honest.
Why did you want to go from like talent management in terms of an oil rig to influence marketing?
Well, that was never the aim to
be an oil rigger.
Yeah, it was never the aim. I went to uni,
I can't imagine knowing you managing someone on an oil rig.
I think I've always known that I'm very creative and I've always wanted to be in that creative space. I think leaving uni, I kind of took what was there and I had a really good time there. I learned a lot of, you know, valuable skills there, but I wanted to do something really creative and I saw this and I thought, well, you know, I do have experience in that field, completely different industry. So I just went for it. And I sent it over and I messaged you on Instagram DM.
I mean, one of my old staff was one who interviewed you.
Yeah.
And
never forget it.
And then your first day, we sent you on like a photo shoot.
Yeah.
With some talent. And you were just put in the back of this car, this photographer. And
he... Very strange photographer, may I add.
Please beep that out. You can't
Can
say
I not
that.
Say that? Yeah, they're not going to know who that is.
I just don't. It's all right. Keep it in. I'm blocked, so it was all good. No, it was a strange time because I think it was about 3 years ago. So we did work with different people then. But yeah, he was a bit bizarre. But it was funny.
Yeah. It was funny, yeah. I think I thrived in it, to be honest.
I heard you did very, very well.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay, cool, let's see how it goes. And you, to be clear, you started as an unpaid intern. Because we were in like the height of COVID, I think. So when we first like came back to the office, so obviously I think for anyone who doesn't know this about us, like we started in 2019 and about 8 months in, we got hit by COVID. And I was like, oh, God. Mm. And then I literally, for someone who spent a lot of time with their clients, I didn't see some people for about 8 months, 9 months. Like the most, this job is so intense. Mm. You have to really be there for people. It's a human connection. That's what we do. You know, we are there through every makeup, breakup. We also get them work. You know, we are more than just an agent. We are a management company. And I remember seeing it for the first time and being like, oh my Christ, nothing fits me. I've been wearing tracksuit bottoms for 9 months and I was literally eating mini eggs for breakfast and then wondered why I gained 3 stone.
Yeah.
That's like PTSD.
When I joined, it was when people were allowed to go
back to the office. Yeah.
If it was safe to do so, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And we had to put all the, because we were such a small company too, it was harder to put the protocols in place. We had to, as a small company, pay a lot of money out in cleaning, making sure we had masks and trying to keep everyone's desks apart. And it was just a bit stressful when you are a small company to the government put all these restrictions on us. And we ended up spending a lot of money on that. And that was quite tough as well. And it was a different time. Oh, my God. It really gives me PTSD to think back to COVID because, God, even everything we did was so different then. We had only like 10 clients, I think, at the time.
I think we had more than that.
Not when you started. It was not, like we had smaller.
It felt like a lot of girls, I remember.
But we only had like 3 staff.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Oh, yeah, I know.
We have like 4 times as many as that now. So.
But I remember, I had that phone call, went to the photo shoot, and then I think it was a week later. So I actually hadn't met you. So I'd started, hadn't met you, I think because of COVID. And
maybe
then
I didn't meet you.
Was added in,
I'm joking.
Added in a group chat. And it's just classic. Hannah was like, well, we've got a new office and it's in St. Paul's.
I just told everyone one day. Yeah, I just didn't even tell anyone.
Like, and I remember thinking, this is the coolest thing ever. This is like, and the office, it's now our studio.
It's a different.
Building.
Building. Well, no, it's the same building.
Different space in the same building.
Yeah, we took over like one of the biggest spaces and it's the one with the balcony. But the time we had the 5th floor, it was so hot. So more exciting news. Obviously, you've been literally with me 3 years. You started as an unpaid intern. But after month one, I decided to pay you after my boyfriend said how hard you worked at our sisterhood summer brunch, which is like our party.
Big
and you were like, I was too drunk. My other member of staff was too drunk. And you were kind of just running the show.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty on brand, actually. Yeah. And then he was like, you need to pay her. So I did. I'll be very honest with you, like $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. So we're a very small company. So for an intern, like, you know, I did my best.
No, you did. And I think for me as well, so the job that I had before obviously was on furlough and then got made redundant. And I think I always knew that I wanted to do something like this, something that wasn't like a boring 9 to 5. So I was like, I don't care. Like, I will get the experience. I will work, you know, for those 2 weeks for free. If you can pay me what you can pay me, then fab. I wasn't living in London at the time, so I didn't have rent to pay. And it was doable. And I just think I'm so glad that I didn't have that ego of, oh, well, you need to pay me. I need this.
And the thing is, there's what's so different, like, not to skip topic slightly, but we've had people interview who've come straight from uni and they have demanded pretty hefty salaries for experience. You know, I'm talking on like the latter end of the scale. And, you know, I always believe you pay people what they deserve. And I've never disputed that. And I've never, if anything, I feel that one of the things I'm proud of, no one's ever asked me for a pay rise. I've always given them when I think people have worked their asses off. But, you know, I just think when you have no experience, it's very hard to justify that because actually it's almost like, and I've always said this even with talent and their rates, you know, Kim Kardashian can demand $1 million because she will bring you back $5 million. That makes sense. If you pay someone $1 million and they make you $10,000, that is like a loss of earnings, right? So it's always just being really cautious with that. And I think
you can't ever be
I worked for free.
Yeah.
For a long time. My first job, I earned $16,000 a year and I worked in central London. And I literally remember thinking that was the sickest thing I'd ever done. And, you know, even before I went to start my own career, I left my job on 25K before I started my own business. So there is no shame in earning lower to get experience because it's so invaluable later down the line.
It's so invaluable. And it's like, if you really want something, you will do that.
Yeah, I do understand that the cost of living now is like a lot harder to do.
Yeah.
But I did work when I worked at my old job. I also worked, I think, at Yates's, and I always was, you know, trying to figure out how I would do that. But I always also wanted to have a purpose and a cause. You know, you can make a lot of money by destroying people's lives and businesses. That's not really how I'd want to do it. But
yeah, of course, I think it's like the end goal, isn't it? I knew that I wanted to do something completely different. I knew that it was a startup company and I had no experience in this industry. So obviously you weren't going to pay me.
To clarify,
what you're paying me now.
Ella does not earn £1,000 a month anymore.
No.
just to be clear about that. But so you've kind of had quite a few promotions along the years. Yeah. But by the time this goes out, it would have already been announced. God, I did this last time. It's just full of announcements. Ella is being appointed our new managing director from, I believe it's Monday, the 1st of May.
I think so.
And King Charles coronation. It's a big day for two people.
Wow. I'm a royal. I feel like we've just gone from intern not being paid to managing director.
You would never know. 3 years down the line, this would be where you're at. And you did trust the process. And we've been through some pretty tough times together as a company too.
Yeah.
And it has been part of every single rebrand I've done. And I've done a few. Hence why we are, I don't know if you can see it here. Phenomenal. And, you know, there are so many ups and downs along the way. So not to touch too much on what your job will be as a managing director, but to go through your process of the things that you've done to get here, which is why I think you're qualified for that role, is the fact that we have struggled as a business. You've had some big ups, some big downs. So have I. It's all, you know,
that's just every day.
There's the realities of running a business. And I think me and you speak about it all the time. People make entrepreneurship look fucking phenomenal online. But it is tough.
I think that's the biggest misconception, isn't it? I think a lot of people look at Instagram and think that we have the most glamorous job ever. And it's not.
I had a mental breakdown in my car on the phone to Ella yesterday.
Me and Hannah will be in the office and, you know, there's drama every single day. We're dealing, you know, with like legal battles or press scandals.
Yeah, and that's just every company, isn't it? It's like, you're you know, we speak to different people at different times. You speak dealing, everything we do is people. So you've got people on the other side of brands, people who we manage, staff who we manage, and staff also are people. Everyone's going through something. And you've got to balance everyone's feelings, especially if someone's going through something. And that is, that's
It's being a good problem solver.
Yeah. We're all women.
A lot of emotions.
There's a lot of emotions. Yeah. And that's just Fionella. What would you say it's been the biggest struggle since you started at HOD? And that can be anything from like battling, having your personal life mixed with your work life, because we work a lot of hours.
Yeah.
You know, and there is no real cut-off.
Yeah.
I do call you on weekends and we do chat. And
I'd say it's probably changed throughout the years of working here. I think at first it probably was that. It was probably finding that balance and setting myself those boundaries of, okay, I don't need to be on my phone 24/7. I don't need to answer every single email as soon as it comes through, if it's on a Saturday or a Sunday. And I think, you know, my relationships with like my friends, my family have felt that.
Oh yeah.
My first probably year, I never had those boundaries. I just wanted it so bad and worked so hard. I mean, I still work hard, but I feel like now I have those personal boundaries in place where I'm like, no, that can wait. Mm. And I think it's being more, you know, managing your time better. Mm. So I'd say at the start, I probably did struggle with that. But luckily, you know, I've got really good people around me and they get it. They get that this job is, it's a lot. It can be really taxing and it can be quite, you know, time consuming.
No, but I think it's more in terms of the draining side is the fact that there is no day off.
No, so there when you're feeling it's drained, non-stop. It is non-stop. But
drained
luckily,
is more tiredness than actually what we do, because I feel drained. Like, I'm drained this week because I came back from LA last week. It was my birthday. I am very tired.
I think it's all sides of it though, isn't it? Like, it's non-stop in terms of you could be in like four different places in the whole week, but also because it is
travel a lot.
Yeah, you travel a lot, which again, like, people might look at that and think, oh my God, that's amazing. You
but
get
we
to go,
still have to do the same job we
you're
do.
You're still answering every single, you know, phone call,
email,
from brand, from a from the talent that you look after. From your staff that you're managing, you're still answering every single email. It's
and also making sure that back of house is running properly and admin. And, you know, even when I was in LA, and I'll always be very honest about my experiences, because I think me pretending that my life is perfect does not help anyone. I called Ella crying in LA. It was about 7 a.m. my time. And what time was it? Your time? About 5? Yeah. Or no, 4? And I woke up and I had 600 WhatsApps, over 400 emails, and I just literally lost it. And I was literally sat eating pancakes, which was even more pathetic. These like big fat pancakes in my hotel. A waiter asked me if I was okay. I was like, not really, so I'm not. But it was like,
again, no shame.
No shame.
In the hotel, just crying her eyes in the breakfast
thing is,
bit downstairs.
Nothing had actually happened. It's more the overwhelmingness of the fact that I was like, I don't know where, it's almost like, you know, when you go, I don't know where to begin.
Yeah.
And it's like, how, when you've got that much, because it's like, and this was only over a course of a day, bear in mind, it just happened to be that I was 7 or 8 hours behind. So usually when they come in staggered, it's not a big issue.
Yeah, it can really get on top of you, I think.
It was just intense. And I just found that really tough, because I really pride myself on structure. And, you know, my PA, she's really good. Every morning I wake up and I've got the list of my emails in urgent, can reply to, need to reply by end of week, which really helps me. You know, because I do a big job here, but, you know, that day I just happened to wake up and I thought, I'm going to throw my phone out the window and I'm not looking back. Like, it was.
Yeah, but also you were, you know, 8 hours behind everyone.
I was jet lagged as well. I was really tired.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. And on, you know, the pitch from LA, like, it looked incredible. And it was. I had an incredible trip and, you know, it was so great for the brands we met and the experiences we had. But those are just those little moments that you go, fuck, like, how do I begin? And I kind of calm back down. And then Maisie put together my to-do list. Yeah. And it was like, okay, phenomenal, I'm back.
Yeah. But I think, you know, it's so normal. I have those blips all the time too. But like I said, I think at the start, and you were probably the same when you first started, I think we were both like that. We would work all through the weekends. we would answer.
I actually have to work all through this weekend, to be fair.
Yeah, and you do. Like, sometimes you have to, you know, you still do that. But I think now we're really good at being like, no, we'll do this on this day. Mm. We'll tackle this in this day. And whatever issue comes, we'll just deal with it.
I think you just have to prioritise.
Yeah.
That's the thing we've always spoken about, is being able to prioritise what physically cannot wait another minute.
Yeah, what can we manage right now? Yeah. What can we...
Also,
resolve right now.
One thing we were bad at, especially as we were learning, bear in mind, you know, you started when you were about 20 here?
No, I was 22.
Oh, God, why think you're so young?
I don't know. We're old now.
That's rude.
No, but we are the old ones in the office.
I know. Can you imagine, though? I was 24 when I started, so I was the youngest person in any room.
I know.
Youngest person in any meeting, and now I'm 29, and I'm not no longer the youngest.
I know.
And that really upsets me. But yeah. I have to say, I said this to you the other day, though, I've never felt more confident and comfortable in myself than at 29, same. Because I feel like I've got years of experience behind me. I know exactly, well, I say this, but every now and again you go, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. You're like, yes, you do. You know, you go, but we're humans, you know, and it is that side. Yeah. No, I find that difficult. One of the things we were talking about before was about, you know, your personal life and work-life balance.
Yeah.
And it's something that you notice, and I told you about it first, and I said at some point it will happen to you.
Oh, okay, no.
Is when your friends start treating you different, or they'll say a little comment of, just because I'm not a celebrity. And I'm like... Yeah. Because that's what we do. And I just always think that's, you know, our clients wouldn't even consider themselves celebrities in that way, because they're very humble, very to the ground.
I think because we're in it and we speak to them every day.
Every day.
We don't ever look at them like they're these, you know, huge, big, scary celebrities.
I actually forget how big some of our clients are.
Yeah.
People do treat you, I do think people do treat you different, or they stop inviting you out. That's a big one. When you're too, because everyone thinks, oh, you're too busy. Because you said no a couple of times and then.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think at the start, like my first year, it was very different. And I'm very lucky, like I've got very, very close friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all get it. Do you know what I mean? And they don't treat me different, like at all. I'm still, you know.
Elephant the block.
Exactly the same to them. But I think at the start it was more me that was like, you know, I'd be at dinner and I'd be on my phone constantly because I have to send this video off, or I have to reply to this email. But I think, you know, I'm very lucky that they were very patient with that, and they were like, okay, well, she's just started. But it's more the people, and I've had it before where people will say, oh, well, I bet you've been to that really nice restaurant, or I bet you do this. And you know, and it's like you're making assumptions about me because I'm in the line of work that I'm in. And I find that really uncomfortable.
Yeah, people make comments to me all the time. Or one of the things is when people ask, and we've spoken before, if something's in the press about one of our clients, people feel like they can just ask us if it's true or not.
Yeah.
And I think that is incredibly untactful. Yeah. And I've always said to anyone who ever asks me any questions, I'm very strict on NDAs here.
Yeah.
You know. And I always say to people, I actually don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I always just say,
it's the best way to answer.
Because the fact is, even if I do know or not, do you think I go, no worries, Maria, I'll tell you. Of course I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't even tell my boyfriend if he asked me, because it's an internal matter.
Yeah.
But I think people have done that to us.
Who cares, you know?
People have done that to us.
Yeah.
What is your biggest achievement that you think at HLD? And that could be client achievement too, because I feel like you've had some big achievements. I feel like, you know, some of your clients who you've developed have done incredibly well. Like Charlie Marlowe has not been with us long, and you've absolutely, you know, gone above and beyond, and she's absolutely smashed it. Mm. You know, if you look at Callie Slaza, you know, what you're currently working behind the scenes with the team who are doing this actually, is really exciting. We've got a few clients doing really exciting things. So I feel like, you know, is there anything that really stands out and you go, fucking hell, I can't believe like this is what I've done?
Yeah, I think especially with like the likes of Charlie Marlowe and Callie, it's like seeing them on TikTok and just being themselves and being like really authentic to who they are.
Like commercializing that.
Taking that and commercializing it. You know, Charlie has worked with like McDonald's, Spotify, and it's really sort of just tapping into, you are a beautiful, funny girl with so much to give. But it's also giving them the confidence to you know, be behind a Spotify podcast and talk about, you know, all these amazing things. Well, that was on a billboard
in Leicester Square. You know, and you did that with her first 3 months of being on the agency.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't belittle that. Like, you've done, you did a really great job with that.
I think it's more just, you know, really finding talent that I believe should be on billboards and have their own shows and be on TV, because they've got so much more to give than just behind a screen doing TikToks. It's the same with Grace.
Yeah.
It's really tapping into their talent. But yeah, I think standouts, probably having Charlie on a billboard in Leicester Square with Spotify. I think that was a really big one.
And you worked really hard Grace as well. I think people don't realize how we structure the team.
I think another huge one for us as well, because I know we were both across it, but with Grace's podcast is, you know, I was in that initial meeting with Grace.
Yeah, Ella's been part of every sort of part with you.
Having and those conversations.
You're like the unsung hero, really, of that team.
Yeah, having those, you know, so I don't know if you've spoke about this with Grace, but she went on the Fellas, and that conversation all kind of came about with me and the Fellas producer. And they said to me, Grace needs to have our own podcast. And it was a conversation that then we had internally in the office.
Yeah, I think I was in LA.
Yeah, I think you're away. Yeah. And then Grace was like, oh, I don't know. And we brought Grace into the office. And I remember on her tour looking at you being like, isn't this just so crazy that this has come from, you know, a few Zoom calls to now she's touring around the UK.
And bear in mind, you can't predict it, because we can create the same opportunities for all of our talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to do, you know, you just don't know which one's going to blow.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's like the thing that's more, so something that I get really proud of is like when I see the things kind of formulate and then do really well, it's like, wow.
It is, isn't it? Because it's like,
And there's also no shame in failing, because I throw a lot of ideas out.
Yeah.
Most of them flop. I won't lie. But not with talent, by the way, just in general, my ideas of like, oh, I'm going to do this with the company, I'm going to do this. Yeah. And it's like, no.
I think that is the proudest thing, though, is when you meet someone like Callie, for example. I met her, and I think to maybe anyone else is like, oh, she talks about, you know, dating and sex on TikTok. I look at her like, you are such an empowered female that you could do so much, and you should be given a platform to really showcase, you know, what you're about. And I think when that comes to light, you're like, right, that's an amazing moment, I think.
It is incredible, and I think you should be really proud of that. I think it does lead me on to, though, one of the things that people don't talk about, which is how personally we take it when we meet talent and we go, I just know where I can see you. Like, and I think we're really good at that. We can go, I know that in like 5 years' time, I think you could be here. But, you know, they don't necessarily believe it in themselves. Brands don't believe it, or anyone else you're pitching it to, and you almost feel like you failed that person slightly. Like, it is a really hard thing that I think I take that very personally. And especially if people leave, I find I take that personally too, because you're like, fuck, have I failed in this way? But you know, it's hard to wrap your head around. How do you think you deal with that? Because I think we deal with it differently.
I beat
myself up for a full day, and then the next day I'm okay, because I'm like, right, okay, next, like, this is the plan of action, whatever.
I think it is a really difficult thing, because, you know, when you manage a talent, you are more than just a manager. It's always going to be that way. You know, you become so close to them. You're in sort of every kind of aspect of their life sometimes, especially if they've come off a big TV show and, you know, their friends don't really get it and their family don't really get it. You become sort of their everything. So, you know, and if something doesn't really work out right, it is hard. We're human as well, and we don't take that easy. We don't take that lightly. And you do, you know, you have days where you're like, you know, fuck, could I have done more? But also, you have to trust in your abilities and know that you've done the absolute best. You wouldn't have taken that client on if you didn't think that you could give them 120%.
It's not everything, you know, in terms of, not everyone suits each agency.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can have the right skill set, but it's just not the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that's so important to realize in this industry.
I always say as well, I think it's a huge trust thing. It's a huge, like, trusting relationship. And I always give that to every single client. Like, I want you to trust me, because I believe in you and I want the best for you. But it doesn't work out sometimes. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes people aren't as trusting. People don't listen. But I always think, you know, for me to give the best, I need to listen to you. I need to understand you. But vice versa. Mm. And that's how you're going to get the best outcome.
I think people who, managers and talent who have the best relationships, you always see them create magic.
Yeah.
If you don't love your talent, or like you just generally, your personalities don't click, it's kind of like, you know, your friends. It's the people you choose to speak to every day. Mm-hmm. And you usually spend more time with that person than than your family.
Yeah, of course. Like, if you don't have that trust there, if you're not listening to each other and you're clashing, then you're not going to, you know, you're not going to be on the same page, and you're not going to have that spark and that magic come together, are you? Because you're going to be clashing heads all the time. Not saying that that happens, but I think that's how I'm able to detach maybe a little bit better than, and I'm like, okay, well, if it hasn't worked, it hasn't worked. It's not a personal thing. It's just, I am the way I am, you are the way you are, and it hasn't worked, and that's fine. And there might be someone else out there that's better suited to managing you.
Do you think, though, that you don't take it as personally because it's not your business?
Yes. 1,000%.
It is harder when it's
1,000%.
Your business. 1,000%.
It is hard. Yeah.
Because it's, you take it more personally. Even if I wasn't the person managing them, I take it so personally. Mm. And, like, you know, I always want to try and make it a really good experience, but even when people leave. But I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. In any aspect of any working relationship, and this is any industry, there's always someone who will try and take your kindness as some sort of form of weakness. Yeah. And I've always said that I don't feel like I have to be a bitch in this industry to be respected, or, you know, to do well. But, you know, sometimes I just think, oh my God, people are really testing me today. Mm. Because it's like they're trying to take your kindness and spin it to get what they want.
But I think that comes back
to... And that happened in my last job too. Yeah. People were real knobheads to me.
But it comes back to, and I think we've been so good at this, you know, in our first year, probably not so much, but it is your boundaries. It is your personal boundaries.
Oh, like, year one, there was no boundaries.
Yeah, there isn't. There wasn't. There wasn't at all. But now
it's like... I was looking after my clients' dogs.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even talent that don't stay with us and go on to do different
things.
We're
still friends with a lot of them.
But it's also a lesson learned. Yeah. It is. It's also you always gain something out of a relationship. We work with so many different personalities. Mm. And I love that about this job. And that's
me too.
Something that, you know, has really driven me through this job is how lucky are we that we get to work with so many different types of people, different personalities, different backgrounds. It isn't always going to work.
Also, you learn, like you said, you learn something, even like through that relationship. You know, Sharon's coming in a minute, and Sharon's been with us from the beginning, her journey. It's been like 2.5 years now. And even watching her growth, of how much she's taught us through her own growth, it's always like a very magical experience. Yeah. So it's kind of like wrap everything up. You know, obviously, like I said, you are starting on as a new MD. And I think one of the things that people, and why you've stayed so long as well, is firstly, I think what we say is our mission is we practice what we preach. We don't just say it to Instagram, and, you know, that is, you know, I think our company culture is very strong. What would you say is your favorite thing about coming to work every day if you took talent out of the equation? Because I think that's important for people to know.
Yeah.
Like, there is more than what we do.
It's quite an easy answer. I think we're so lucky to have the team that we have. Everybody has each other's backs. It's not a competition, like who has the best contacts, who's, you know, got the best collaboration or edit for their client. We are all in it together.
We don't compete. That's the one thing. We've heard this about other agencies before, that people have come over where it's like people won't share contacts and stuff.
Yeah.
We have one goal.
We all have the same goal. I feel like we all share the same values, and I think it's really rare.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing. And I think that's what, you know, is a great motivator for all of us to come to work. Yeah. And we're all friends.
Yeah.
And I always say this to the talent that I manage, but I say it to the girls in the office that we work with. We work so hard. We should enjoy our jobs. We should enjoy each other. We should enjoy each other's company. And yeah, say that's probably my favorite, apart from the talent and the brands that we work with and, yeah. and the job that, you know, that is,
that's the biggest thing. I've always said, isn't it, about is I never started a business to hate my job.
Yeah.
I started a business that people could realize we're in our 20s, right? So everyone who's like starting up, they're usually in their 20s, 30s, whatever. And it's like, you don't have to hate your job. Yeah, there's stressful moments. You're not going to love it every day. Mm-hmm. But the idea is you should look forward to coming to work.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to compromise on that. You should have fun every day of your life.
Yeah.
And of have course, a laugh.
Yeah. And I think we're so lucky that we have that.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, it's
I
not,
love who I manage. Yeah. They literally make me giggle every day and we get shit done.
Yeah.
And also my staff, like they're literally the people. I literally, when you're off holiday, I literally will get like call you and I'm like, I miss you. Come back. Because then that's so special.
I know. And also, I think we all forget that we see each other every single day. Like, we do everything.
Well, we work together. One day from home, but some recently it's not been like that. It's been too hard. We're busy. No, so.
I can't remember the last time I worked from home. But that's because I like being in the office. I like being with everyone.
If there was one aspect of your life that you could manage differently, what do you think that would be? And it could be anything. It could be your job. It could be your personal life.
I think it's quite a deep one, but I think
that's why I'm laughing. If you knew how many times I've asked this question,
I'm trying to build this up. I think mine would probably be to make more time to see my nan.
Oh,
yeah,
she's quite old, isn't she?
She's 92. She just had her 92nd birthday, and I think you know, this job is so intense and you're so busy and it can, you know, really like when it comes to the weekend, I just want to chill. I just want to relax. And I feel like I do slack in that department. I don't really, you know, see all the family that I should see. And when I celebrated her 92nd birthday, I was like, wow, I don't want to miss those moments.
Yeah.
So I think I would just say...
Be more present probably, in the moment.
Yeah, be more present. Make time for, like, loved ones a lot more. Yeah, that'd be my answer.
Oh, well, that's really nice.
Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you.
And that's that. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Managed. If you loved watching, please make sure you're following us so you can receive updates on our next episode. I'll see you next week.